Welcome back. Thank you for coming back again. For those of you that it's your first time listening, I hope I don't bore you to death. If I do, RIP. But yeah, no, I'm very happy with how things are kind of going at the minute. I've had a couple of people who have kind of saying that they're enjoying it, and you know, well, I suppose no one's ever going to come to them and be like, fuck you, it's shit, because realistically, if those people did say that, I'd just be like, lick my arse. So yeah, pretty much we're going to dive into some more shit today. I have Conor Byrne and Andrew Sheridan on with me, two good lads. I'll introduce them properly when I have them on, you know, now. Well, it will be now when by the time they, anyway, you get me. Yeah, we're hoping to get into some bits about self-awareness and body image. I have another topic, but I don't think we'll get into it. I'll see what the time is like, and then, you know, we're gonna blitz them in the trivia as well, so that's always fun. But yeah, no, it's great to see people coming back, and you know, I'm delighted to be entertaining you with some spew. But for now, welcome back to the Inside Trail. That is such a great sound, and it doesn't get old, and I'm going to open every single episode with crack and a can of the good stuff. But yeah, so hang on, I'm just going to explain what just happened. We've actually been recording for 5 minutes and the microphone wasn't turned on, but you know, these are the things that happen. But anyway, so today I'm joined by Andrew Sheridan and Conor Byrne, two great friends of mine. What's up, boys?
Hello. What's up?
So Andy is studying communication skills in DCU, and studying communication studies. All right, you're communicating. Chill out, right? Anyway, so just to give you an idea of what Andy's like, I was kind of thinking about what story I was going to tell, and the one that came to mind was, of course, on our 6-year holiday when. You know, Andy had been telling us he was pulling this bird, and you know, he was like, oh yeah, she was from South Africa or something like that. And we were all locked. We were like, oh yeah, grand, cool. And then the next day, only did we find out that Andy had been putting on a South African accent to chat this bird up, and made up this place called Cape Crow. Yes. Does not exist.
I was on the spot.
But we went back, and she worked in the bungee jumping place where we kept going back to the bungee jump because, you know, it's a bungee jump. But he walks up to this girl, and she's just like, are you not from South Africa? And Andy's like, what? No. Like, and then we're like, Andy, that's the bird you were with last night. And he's like, oh, Derek. Yeah, but anyway, that's Andy. And Conor Byrne here is studying human resource management in DIT. And as we were discussing kind of what stories we were going to tell, Brandy just turns around and goes, well, some fella called me poor once, so I loved them.
it's all I had.
Yeah. Well, we have some good stories. They're just not allowed to be told on this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's the introductions done. Now, the big topic that I wanted to kind of talk about this week was kind of how do we look at ourselves? And I think it's best broken into two different topics, in self-awareness, where you're kind of talking about your emotional and your mental view on yourself, and then body image being your physical look on yourself. So, you know, I think a big part of being self-aware is to be able to look at yourself from like a neutral view, you know, that you can judge your actions and the things that you say and do from a neutral perspective without being offended, whether you'll be in the right or the wrong, whether to just kind of make judgments on kind of what you're doing and stuff like that. Because I think if you're not self-aware, you can go to a place where you're just kind of doing wrong things. You're just like, ah, geez.
In denial.
Like, but, you know, I think I kind of only learned to be self-aware when I got a bit older. I used to kind of always just do things and just kind of be like, ah, dace or whatever, right, and just not really reflect on it. But I think a huge part of kind of why I kind of am starting to like the person that I'm turning into is a fact that I think I am quite self-aware now, in that I will kind of make judgments on myself, maybe sometimes a little bit harsh, but I think overall it's better to be self-aware than to be in denial, as you said.
It's like reflecting on your actions is extremely important.
Absolutely, yeah.
So if you've done something wrong, just acknowledging the fact that that was wrong.
Mm.
Yeah.
So like what I do, have you ever looked back at, you know, stages in your life, maybe where you've, even when you're a child, where you might have been mean to a kid, and you're able to acknowledge the fact that like you really should not have done that, or love someone. Exactly.
It's good. Regret it.
Yeah, exactly. Just exactly.
For the record.
So Bernie, you are self-aware.
But even like if you can just, I think, reflect on yourself like that, it kind of allows for you to be more
accepting of yourself.
More accepting of yourself. And I think when you build on something like that, it makes you more confident as well, because you're more comfortable in in the body that you inhabit. You know, like the way I would look at it is, you know, everyone has a different perspective on life. Everyone has made a completely different series of decisions that brings them to their current mindset. And I think, you know, everyone kind of has to come to terms with everything that has happened to them, and they have to kind of continue to live in their kind of in their psyche, which is, I think, when you can kind of learn to deal with those things that have happened and you can kind of embrace them, that is when you do develop like an inner confidence.
Yeah, I think for me, when I started becoming self-aware, was when I was in fifth year summer. I was playing for Leinster under 18 clubs. Now it is clubs, so I thought it was unbelievable because it was big for me.
That's still a feat.
Time, and you wore the jersey, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I wore the jersey for one fucking game. But
anyway. Got a few snaps out of it, didn't you?
Yeah, that's literally the only thing I got out of it. But one thing my uncle would always say to me before the game was, believe in yourself. And as a young fellow, I kind of was like wondering what that meant. Like I thought it was just another thing like good luck. But then I played this game, it was my first game wearing the jersey, and it was against the Irish Exiles, and I had the worst game of my life, like literally the worst game. And I was a player that played with nerves and fear, and I was just kind of like, I had the worst day ever. The ball was slippy, it was just a greasy day, you know, Danny Rook, when it's just a wet day.
Dark,
yeah. And especially in the Astro with those Rhino balls, they just slipped through your fingers, and I had a nightmare. I actually had a spiral kick in the 22 to get us out, and I got blocked down and they scored a try, and I was like, the fuck is going on? And then after, I was asking myself, why did I play so bad? And I thought back to what my uncle said before the game about believing in yourself, and from that point on, I knew that I had to make a change, like in regards to rugby, like. And I was going to my sixth year, so obviously it was important that, well, I tried to get into the cup, but obviously I didn't. Yeah, so anyway, I started believing in myself a lot more then, and that's kind of when my confidence kind of came into play, and I started playing without fear, because that game I played just with nerves, and I was scared to make a mistake because I wanted to progress to the next stage, obviously, which I ended up getting a drop, but anyway, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But I went in and played a few of the best games of my life with Fintons. We did lose to Wesley, but it was a strong Wesley team.
Ah, but you still have those. Yeah, those,
and then I actually got dropped off the under 18s, and ended up getting a call back for the trials of the under 19s. Now I think that was just as a tackling bag, to be honest, just to fill in a few.
Just get a couple big men in the back.
Definitely filling
the jersey.
Yeah, no, but just from there on, I've been able to go into like group projects, presentations, and just stood up without fear. And I think just because it came in that game, after that game, that it's been a massive turning point for me, and I definitely think I'm a lot more confident because of it.
Yeah, that's good. I know, like as you said there, even for college, so and I don't know if I'm the only one like this, but I still will get really nervous if I have to stand up in front of a room. Like,
and it is daunting. Like.
It is very daunting, but I think it's that moment when you have to just step back and pause and just be like, "Come on, let's fucking do this." Yeah, like, just exactly.
You just have to believe in yourself. Yeah. That's what my uncle was. I live by that now.
I think one huge thing is that, like, in life, you're gonna have so many critics. You don't need one more critic. What you do need is a friend, and that's what, like, as kind of as simple as it is, one thing that I will always try and like spread and say to people is just like, be good to yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, people are going to knock you down. People are going to, you know, make you aware of the things that you're doing wrong. But you need to be the one who kind of looks in and says, you know what, fuck this. Like, I can do that. Like,
and you look back at these times when you failed, but I guarantee you, you'll be the only one that remembers it, and no one else will. Like, it's about what you do next that defines you as a person. Like,
You're your own biggest critic. Like, exactly. you think that when you mess up that all eyes are on you, but like you said, it's out of people's minds straight away.
Exactly.
I used to find it really nerve-wracking speaking in front of groups. Like, to the point where I'd be stuttering, I'd be red in the face.
Yeah, jittery, yeah.
I'd be jittery. Like, it'd be an awful experience for me. I used to get, like, terrible anxiety about, you know, speaking publicly.
Yeah.
And it was around halfway through first year of college where I just, like, something clicked and I just stopped really caring about it. I started seeing that people, like, valued some things I said that before when it's, you know, before, say, that happened, I would have thought that nobody would care about my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or anything I said wasn't of value to anybody else.
Yeah.
Then something clicked. I don't know when it was or what it was, where, you know, I started believing that what I was saying was worth at least somebody listening to, you know.
And do you think that that's a case of, like, when you just kind of become an adult? Because from what it sounds like, you know, you're kind of past those teen years and you're kind of developing.
It's the more experience you have in situations where you're put in the spot, like in a condition where you aren't comfortable, that you kind of rise out of it. Mm. You know what I mean? Conor McGregor talks about
it. You only benefit from it, putting yourself in.
It's adverse conditions, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're able to be uncomfortable and rise above it, next time that comes around, you can go again. And it's something that, you know, a lot of people aren't exposed to in, you know, certain walks of life.
Yeah.
But, you know, you had it at a young age in rugby. And that probably stood you for a long time.
Yeah, I think
but,
so.
Like, I don't think I was exposed to that for, you know, that, like a high-pressure environment where I'd have to come off, you know, come across as at my best until probably first year of college, where I was in a communications module where I had to, like, present something. And I remember, like, the very first one is where 25%, I was bricking it, right? And I have the sheet of paper in my hand. This is actually so dark. Just popped into my head, a little flashback. Yeah. All right. And I had the sheet of paper with, like, the pointers on it. And, like, I couldn't hold it up because when I was holding it up, my hand was shaking.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, so that, I had to put it down. But if I put it down,
you couldn't see.
Couldn't read, man. I was like, fuck.
That's 22.
It doesn't really get that bad. So, yeah. You know, like, from that point onwards, I just kind of stopped caring. And everybody kind of knows, you know, that they think that I never would have really had that confidence issue. But
yeah, the more you do these things, the more comfortable you get. Like,
absolutely.
Like, I had a presentation in first year and I was just shitting myself up.
Yeah.
And now I can pretty much get up in front of the class and not really care, or I can deliver a lot better than I used to anyway.
Yeah, I'm that annoying dude in lectures now.
Now, the last part of self-awareness before we kind of move on to the physical side is just the kind of empathizing with yourself about the emotions that you're feeling. And, you know, it kind of touches on what I was talking about the last day about kind of embracing your emotions. But I think a big thing about being self-aware is to understand how things make you feel.
Yeah.
And how, you know, you can use that with other people as well. Like, let's say, for example, I know that I know that something is going to make me upset.
Yeah.
So I know that. So then I'll try and avoid that. But it also means that, like, I'll try and avoid that for other people.
Yeah. Conor Jennings put it very well. Now, for someone that talks so much shite,
there has to be some gold in there somewhere.
Yeah. He comes out at the odd time with a cracking few lines or whatever to make you actually think about it.
90% of them is just bop.
He said he knows people that struggle, but he doesn't understand it enough to comment really. He said he just doesn't take life too seriously. He takes the piss out of himself more than anyone else can. So when something's said to him, he doesn't get upset about it. And when he does, he has the beans, which is his mates.
Which is the
boys. For
anyone
that doesn't understand.
Yeah.
And all he does is has a good kip and a bit of chocolate. And he's as good as new.
That man has
it
down to a
simple team. Man, but
simple
he's
taste.
Dead right,
simple taste. He is dead.
That's
right.
When it comes
dead
to people judging, what I find is,
take
like,
yourself.
Yeah, that's true. But like when someone, like, the only time I will take something extremely personally is if I have a huge amount of respect for that person. So if someone speaks, you know, badly of me, and I think very highly of them, I'll try to understand why would they think badly of me, because I think quite highly of myself in a lot of cases. Yeah.
I would also think that in those cases, the people who will speak badly of you to you will probably be your friends. Like,
yeah, if,
very few people are going to be, you know, extremely disrespectful to your face.
They're not disrespectful to your face, but, like, say, you know, it all happens where people be, you know, behind each other's backs. And
yeah.
I feel like a lot of the time,
that's true.
That talk is, it's not something that anybody should really care about, because those people don't know you.
Mm.
So don't value their opinion.
Yeah, fair.
Value the opinion of those who are closest to you.
Yeah.
My granddad used to say something. He was like, show me your friends, I'll show you what kind of man you are. Which is fair, because they're a representation of you, and if you don't care what they say, then what you care about, you know.
Clearly, I'd be happy to show myself as on behalf of you, cunts, anytime you like. I also really apologise for that word. So that's kind of the inside part of how do you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
So the other part that I want to look at is body image. Now, before I kind of open this up, just to give you an idea, when I was about 15, I was lean enough. Like, I would have been not fat. Definitely not fat.
Yeah,
definitely. Might have a bit of shreds, like, you know, the old line down.
And then for rugby, I was told I had to put on 10 kilos. And then I was told...
10? How heavy were you?
Hang on. I was 70 kilos and I was playing in back row. Then I moved to the hooker.
This was
and then,
junior cup, was it?
Yeah, so then I was told to put on 10. Then I was like, okay, put on another 10. And then I got to 6 year and I was playing prop. And it was like, right, you need to be ticking... fucking tread dids, like
the old triple digits.
And you know, at my peak, I was
Sam Dion.
Shout out to TDJ.
I'm sure he came out the womb triple digits. Like, you're 5'0".
I am 5'0", fair. But like at one stage, I was 107 kilos, 5 foot. Like I'll call it straight, 5'7½". You know, it's not an ideal look. And I remember, I never really cared what people thought about me, and I never really kind of felt self conscious. For a while, but then I remember I heard a couple of people call me fat, and like I've heard of people being offended, and I would never get offended, but I remember just being like, that's proper mean, man. Like, why would you say that to me? Like, and
it's when it's used to kind of, you know, knock you down a couple of
times. Similar to me, when I was in Fintan's, Paddy Kirk, he always used to, like, he was a very good friend of mine.
Still
is a great
story,
guy.
Paddy.
Hey, Paddy,
and he always used to roast me like non stop, but I was best friends with him. Still am very good friends with him, but he always used to say my nose was fat, and I actually used to take it to heart all the time, and the fact that I took it to heart would trigger him to bring it back up, because he knew it got at me.
He knew it hit you.
So now...
So, Paddy, now you're a bully.
Yeah,
you're a bully. You're a fucking bully, man.
No, he's a great guy. But now, if anyone slags me about anything, it just, like we say, it just bounces off. Like,
it is hard, though, for a thing that is... You know, when you do get to a stage when you don't like how you look, and we all know that it's not like changing your outfit or something like that. You know, it's months, it's years of work of getting yourself to a place where you are happy with how you look. And I quit rugby. I just started going to the gym, and I just didn't want to be that fat guy anymore. Just because for a long time I didn't see that people saw me, and like, which is strange because my close friends kind of didn't really register me as that fat.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because we were all kind of fat. I mean,
we were kind of fat.
Like, let's think about it. Was the only person who ever called us out at dinner, like during school, was Hugh Sexton. I didn't give a shit about Hugh Sexton.
Nah, hang on. No, I'm talking about like lads who were like, you know, back rowers, lean lads who had eight packs and all. Geno, Kenny, all these guys.
They didn't sit next to us though, do you know what I mean? Like, I know, we were beating into our food.
Oh yeah, but we were hammering into food to try and, you know, whatever. But I just
we were doing it for a reason though.
We were doing it for a reason, but it was when that reason ended and I left school and I had no reason to be that fat anymore, was when I was like, I really don't like being this person anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the only thing that I will say is, like, it's not something that's going to change overnight, and it isn't something that's going to change in a couple of weeks, but you can be unhappy in your body, but there is, you know, your body is something that you can change with, you know, diet and exercise and the right kind of commitment. But what you can't let it do is let that take over your present and let that and dwell on that and let that be a reason why you're kind of not happy or something like that. Because, you know, if you let things that you can't control right now ruin your mood, like, it's just stupid. You know, let things ruin your mood that are actually going to affect you in the moment. Like, you know, okay, I'm 107 kilos, right, what can I do? Right, I go to the gym tomorrow, but like, there's no point like sitting here and, you know, eating a load of donuts. Well, unless I do like donuts, but like, still, I don't know, like, it's just, I feel like it's very easy for people to just kind of not, what's the word, like, fat shaming people. like it's a very easy for people to just not care about what you think. It's like, oh, what a fat fuck, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And like, I'm not gonna lie, I've been that fat fuck, and sometimes I do like, oh, look at that fat fuck. And I'm like, you know, and this is the self-awareness part, is I know I'm not right all the time, and I'm probably wrong when I do that, but it's just an instinct thing, and it's one thing that I do. I'm like to myself, that used to be you bastard.
Yeah,
so that is something that I'd like to be careful of. But you know, like, we've all had
it's also important to surround yourself with people that we'll tell you if you're going in a bad direction with something. Like, if I was getting fat, I'm sure James Kenny or Faker would tell me, like, if I was getting a bit
too tubby,
even my family, like,
even when you're not getting fat, they're saying you're getting fat, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, there's a little bit of food shaming.
But they also compliment you when you're doing well. Like,
yeah, that so is one thing that I find
it drives you on, and it's important to have that they compliment you when you're doing good, but if you're doing bad, they criticise, and you have to be able to take it. Like,
yeah,
we give it back to them as well.
I think it is that balance is important.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, if you and your friends are, you know, complimenting each other, and you're like, oh, this is buzz, you know, whopper, he loves me, I love him. You also have to accept that they are looking out for you, so that when it does come to, okay, you're kind of slipping a little bit, let's get back on the boat.
The classic feedback loop.
Yeah, they have positive feedback
loop. At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Now, I know you have your own body journey that you wanted to.
This is, yeah,
to
share. I have like a timeline. I was always someone who was never really happy in his skin when it came to his body image. So I was always like a small guy in school starting off. I was someone who, before joining Belleville, I was playing with like a successful Cool Mine underage team, like Leinster champions, things like that. Small time, obviously.
Sorry, one sec,
just
gonna make noise and just open an Oreo jam.
I was
talking about body image, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I'm assuming you're not gonna have any.
You see, that makes it sound so dark, but not actually.
Anyway, go on, sorry.
Yeah, no, I've never been somebody who's been like particularly happy with their body, and like my first main diet I took was actually 14. I went down to Galway, to Connemara with my family, where we go every summer, and at that stage, I'd been watching Geordie Shore, and I decided that the attractive look was Gary Beadle. Abs. I wanted abs. Right? And I didn't have abs. And it wasn't because I was like particularly low or high body fat. It was because I didn't have defined abs, because I was a fucking kid. Like, So I started dieting real hard there. Cake was on offer, no. Dessert on offer, no. I'd eat a meal a day. Around midday, that was it.
One meal a day.
Man, it was.
First time, like, cake was on that for a day.
Yeah, man, Yusuf, man.
I was like, all right.
You're like, where were you, like, man? You should have been down already.
It's like, where's the cake cutter? I don't need the cutter. Give me the whole thing. Sorry.
Fork on a mallet. I want to just go it. No, then, you know, at 15, was when I decided that my arms were skinny. So I was going to start curling. So every day I started doing curls beside the mirror. Right, I was like, I want to fill out my sleeves, because, you know what I mean, all the lads were playing Jays at this stage. I'd fucked up my foot, so I wasn't even playing rugby. So I was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, put my efforts into the gym. But at that stage, I hadn't a clue about diet, so I wasn't growing. I was in a deficit because I fucking wasn't eating a lot, because I wanted to stay skinny or lean, because Gary Beadle was lean. Do you know what I mean? All these images that were put to me in, well, like, whatever media I was consuming, I was just taking it on board, and I was trying to project it for myself, like, and it's not a positive thing to do.
I think young people are often kind of misinformed on these kind of things. Like, I remember when I was in like sixth class, I just used to be like, oh, big arms, and just used to just curl.
Yeah,
just curl.
It was all bicep as well.
It's definitely different nowadays, though.
Like
the fitness industry,
but there's more information.
I remember Jenna used to do something.
I looked up to Jenna, man. He was a fucking machine.
Jenna used to do something like 100 sit-ups and 100 push-ups every night before bed. Like,
man, he was
been,
man.
What could have been?
No, man. No, but like, he, man, that chap. Oh yeah, I actually remember distinctly having a conversation with him in Sweeney's, where he was basically just telling me how to get abs, and I was like, I wish I had a fucking notebook. This is some valuable information.
Never any fucking robbed my bread. Fucking cap was shredding when I was there, like a little fat fuck.
Yeah, with that fat nose, a Paddy Kirk.
The old swoop.
Yeah.
The old poof.
Yeah, the old poof, right.
So then the next.
Yeah, no, 16, okay, so when it came to fourth year summer, myself, Gab Balf, and my best mate, Jack O'Neill, we were going away with Gibby, you know, Gibby Shields, Cameron Shields. You know, you might know him, you might not, great guy. And we're going to Tormelinos for like a little 2 week holiday.
Yeah,
Tormelinos. Tormelinos.
Yeah,
it actually is.
I'm actually going to Tormelinos soon.
Yeah, man, yeah. Fucking second gay capital of the world.
Not
to
be on in May.
Only a few
that's
months.
Away. Time to go. Like, yeah. The sun, like, you wouldn't want to go now.
Yeah,
May, are you actually going?
Yeah.
Man, fucking save money for the old Cali.
Go on.
Yeah, okay, so I went on my first keto diet, or what I thought was a keto diet. Alright? So I actually didn't eat carbs for 3 months.
No carbs for three months,
man. Yeah, like it's fucking eating disorder territory.
I need a Domino's a week.
It was good though, man. Like, I lost a huge amount of weight. Like, that was the first time I got abs.
And so it explains to me a keto diet.
So the keto diet I actually did incorrectly. Like, a keto diet, like, typically what you do is you'd have like 80% fat, 20% protein, zero carb. And in the process, like, your body will release ketones. It's a more efficient way for your brain to run, and you're just like in a constant state of fat burn, basically. Right? Like, if you're in a deficit, you're definitely burning fat. Whereas in my case, I was fairly low fat, like moderate protein, fucking low cal. But like at this stage, I wasn't actually experiencing dieting. But I end up like losing a lot of energy because I have fat stores.
And
like it comes to the point where your body becomes really, really efficient in burning its own fat tissue because you're not constantly spiking your insulin. Your insulin's nice and low.
And can I ask you a question? What was your main drive? As
my body, I had this image in my head that what I wanted to look like. I still to this day I haven't reached it.
I think that's the thing.
It is. I think people have images in their head.
But is that a body image that you're trying to reach because you want to look that way, or is that because you're comparing yourself to the way other people look and that's why you want to look that way?
So at that stage I had you know those friends who just hit puberty that like a little bit earlier than everyone else. So at that stage I was hanging out with Gav Bell. he's not actually good, he's not, no offense. he is a puberty, but you know those people who were just like randomly shredded.
I had puberty early, but I wasn't shredded.
Jack was like 80 kilos or some shit in fourth year. Like he was a big dude.
He's still big.
He's
bigger in school than he is now.
Facts. But he's more agile and more handsome. Alright, give him something.
Love you, Jack.
Yeah, so I was surrounded by these people who were a lot bigger than me. He had a 120x3 squat or something when he was like fucking 30. Yeah, man.
He's surprisingly strong. Like you can hit. I remember
playing. With legs that short, you can push it.
The short leg in the gym is the best.
So just comparing myself anyway to people around me was basically a driving force into basically wanting to come to their level. Like I remember the first day Jack brought me to the gym to squat. And I had extremely tight hips, like thoracic extension fucking way off.
Yeah.
And I fell forward. And he goes, what are you doing? And like laughed at me. And like that stuck with me for like 2 years. I was like, I just never wanted to squat again.
Yeah.
I was like, I got really embarrassed about it. Squat a good bit now.
I was just about to say, it's like, are you going to show me your quads? Yeah. I'll throw that in.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's it is, yeah, no. But then I came back, right? This is when the goals shifted a little bit. Because then we started getting into the senior cycle in school. Right, so I'm looking at people like Dan, looking at the likes of Tom. And all these lads are big lads. And all of a sudden I decided that I wanted to be a big lad. So that year I went on a turbo bulk. Alright, I still have stretch marks to this day.
Yeah, I have them too.
Yeah, man, it's so dark. I put on 26 kilos in 18 months.
Yeah.
So 26 kilos, that was a huge amount of weight. Not an ab inside, obviously, but like at that stage my goals had changed and then I just wanted to be bigger.
I remember at that stage when we were both eating, like we used to sit, we used to have night study in our secondary school.
That's just
and
bad.
We'd go and have rugby training and then we'd come back up to school and like, you know, everyone would be having their pasta and stuff, but like I'd go in and I'd get, you know, a pack of toffee pops, pack of jellies, pack of bickies, 2 liter milk and then my dinner, like. And that was just one meal, like, and you'd have had something similar, like,
yeah,
and we'd just
my like, up. I wasn't on the snack buzz, I'd be on, like, the meal buzz. So, like, while he was getting his chocolate peanuts, I'd be getting my Sambas, because, like, proteins, do you know what I mean? I was like, oh, yeah, like, protein.
I was just on that choco hype, like.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But,
that's how you win cups.
Yeah, exactly.
Chocolate peanuts.
So, like, during the whole senior cycle, leading into, like, the end of the leaving cert. I didn't adopt it, it was given to me, fuck yous. They started calling me Bubbles.
I remember this.
Yeah, like, fucking. The thing is, like, at this stage, right, I'd, like, completely convinced myself that I was big, because I was, like, I had a much stronger bench than anybody else. I think I had, like, the second, third strongest bench on the fucking senior cup panel or some shit. I was pretty light.
Huge.
Anyway, they started calling me Bubbles, and I realized at one stage after Hugh Sexton, as I said, like, consistently just call me Bubbles every single day, and he'd just be like, "Jeez, mate, you're bulking." Like every single time I'd be fucking.
In fairness,
I was bulking.
In fairness, Hugh Sexton, if you are listening, I remember any time Hugh would ever see you eat anything, he'd be like, "Jeez, mate, you're bulking." Like, you could have had some fucking scrambled eggs and
man,
a slim
milk. Man, it's because we were fat. What you mean? You did not have slim milk.
I know.
We
had
your double
that.
Sausage roll. Man, I used to do this thing. This is actually funny. Listeners may enjoy. Right, I'd go up and I'd get a sausage, two sausage rolls. I would eat the pastry out of the sausage roll and then put the sausage from the sausage roll into a double hot dog.
That's fucking weird.
Man, it's fucking. Watch him. That's a nice man.
Now, do you remember those sausages you could buy in the ref in the morning?
Just the
fatty ones. I used to just get a cup of them, and from the walk from the cafeteria to the classroom, now the 3 minute walk, I used to get six sausages, right? Those big fat deadly sausages, and just suck them.
Man, they literally were gone by the time I got. I would take a bite, and you look at it, right? And it would be like it would have this shine. Like, have this fucking shine as if it wasn't even real.
You can
food.
Just see the saturated fat.
Yeah, you're just like, you're
I'll
like,
make
look.
You so fucking fat, man.
It's like, you're getting diabetes, my boy. Yeah, no. It was a fun time, though, I'm not going to lie. But yeah. I went on a diet again. I was actually led a lot by Aiden Pete in this case. He was pretty well read when it came to dieting.
Mm.
And Dan was the same. Dan, you know, downloaded my Fitness Pal, and I realized that, you know, tracking calories might be a good way to go.
Yeah.
I had, at like the very start of my diet, I actually went for the whole no carb approach again. During the leave insert, like, you know what I mean, leading up to the leave insert, it was actually pretty shit for my energy levels. So I decided to go and do what Ed Beat was doing, ended up losing 13 kilos in 10 weeks. But again, no abs. So, like, it was this consistent thing where I just wasn't happy with my body image.
Mm.
I thought you were going to get sick. But I burped and then got there, right?
Oh.
Dark, right? I'm believing. I don't joke with that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, dieted, killed myself, and I said, here, I'm not letting that happen again.
Yeah.
And then when I was 19...
How old are we on now, right?
That was 18. This is just when I was just leaving school. Remember, we went away to Crete.
Yeah.
And like, man, I actually looked all right, but I just wasn't lean. I just wasn't the fat cunt that I wasn't scared.
Yeah.
19 was when I went, like, silly, like, 4% lean.
Like, I remember one stage when you were, like, disgustingly skinny, and, like, you're like, you could see the bones in your face.
At one stage, it was actually after...
I'm going to say, unhealthily skinny.
I was unhealthily skinny, and, like, I was in a relationship at the time, and we wouldn't eat out. I cook a lot at home and stuff, but, like, it became obsessive.
Yeah, it was.
It was obsessive.
I've had it to you before.
Yeah, and, like, it came to the point, I had these veins in my stomach. That, like, you could see the, like, you could see my pulse. Man, it was actually
kind of
weird.
You could see the heartbeat and all.
Yeah, I was extremely lean. And, like, at that stage, like, I wasn't healthy. My energy levels were shit. I fainted in the gym at one stage, or nearly fainted. I was coming home. I had to talk away on Rayon's e-cig. Just to keep my, just to stop me from passing out, man.
And
it's just, like, pushing beyond the boundary. But at that stage, I didn't think I was lean.
So, to come from, you know, somewhere where you've been, you know, fat and unhappy with yourself to being extremely
I was pretty happy with myself. Like, I remember the very first time I put that transformation up. I put up a transformation, and it was a huge difference.
Yeah.
I was really proud of myself.
Are you?
I wasn't happy with, like, I was happy. You see, I get into this thing where I'm happy with progress.
Yeah.
But not the end product, Jamie. So like, I've applied. This formula, and I've got this result.
Mm.
And the fact that I could do that and learn from it and. Get the result that, like, I basically, like, any result that I could have hoped for, because, man, when I say I went all out, like, I mean, I didn't drink for what, 6 months?
Yeah, man, I don't know how, like, that's,
it's a huge lot of commitment,
you know,
and a lot of determination.
Respect, and it takes a lot of, it does take a lot of.
Man, it's so fucking pointless. Oh, no, this is when it gets really dark. Then I got appendicitis.
Oh,
fuck.
Dark.
Yeah, so after all that, it lasted like 2 weeks. Went to Forbidden Fruit, got a few pictures.
You did get a few pictures though, so not.
Yeah, man, but like 2 years later, I can't be posting them. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you do post a lot of throwbacks.
Well, not anymore. I'm lean again.
Yeah, lean again.
Okay.
So on that, I think that's probably. Have you got another?
Yeah, no. Just like that. This is when I kind of realized I had this little epiphany. Actually, after the appendicitis, when it's not the be all and end all. So I worked out hard, killed myself, sacrificed so much, and to what product? Like, it was something that just really wasn't a big deal. But man, I was so, like, as soon as the appendix came out, I was told I wasn't allowed to train.
Yeah.
For like 4 months, which I went back after 6 days, God love me.
Yeah.
And I got this message off an amateur bodybuilder who's probably going to go into class physique. I think he wants to go into men's own, but his name's Owen Powell. And I got a message off him. He was talking to Rayon, And I got this message off him basically just telling me, like, these things happen, get up and fucking go again. Mm. And that was like, I was the most emotional I'd been in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
Because that's just what I needed, like, because nobody understood really how low I was because I put so much into it. But it's kind of in the background when you're going to the gym.
Yeah.
Like, no one really sees the amount of effort you put in. And yeah. then it was just kind of swept away from me. But he basically just said, like, you know, keep your head up. Because he'd experienced something similar. And that's just a little kick I needed. But I now know, having come from that, that it's not really... It's not something that I'm going to let just consume my life. It really fucking consumed my life.
Yeah, I think the fact that you went to a stage where you knew that it was upset... Well, I think now...
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm able to manage it now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking... I'm grand.
We're back on top of the world.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like a case where if you're... Like, if you have a goal, like, you know, I'll give you a quote from Dorian Yates. He goes, like, if you wanna be the best, there is no balance. You know, like, you see all that bullshit online. It's like, yeah, balance. Yeah, yeah, fucking drink this tea, balance.
No,
fucking,
if you want to be the best,
if you want to get into top condition, yeah, there is no fucking balance. You know what I mean? No. And I just didn't have balance.
I think
like, now I don't have balance, and you see it. You kind of see it in my physique, man. I'm a little bit fluffier, but you know what? I'm living my life. I love the lads. Yep.
Fair.
So I think we'll park our how do we view ourselves now. But now some of my favourite parts shall now come. So who wants to tell me their gag first?
Well, I've been spewing for about fucking 20 minutes, but Bernie's not ready, so I guess I am.
Okay.
A little background.
I'll do mine afterwards.
A little background on my dad. Funny guy. All right. So he's actually just King Dad Joke. So I was just like, all right, fuck it. I need some inspiration for the old jokes. And I go, any dad jokes? And he goes, my paycheck. Poor bastard supporting our family off that paycheck.
What a man.
I know, yeah.
All right. What kind of bees produce milk?
What?
Boobies.
Oh, my God. I was going to say honeybees. I thought there was a trivia.
No, trivia is yet to come. Yeah. Bernie, gag?
What's the difference between a hooker and a drug dealer?
Don't know.
A hooker can wash her crack and sell it again.
Oh my god! Was that loud enough?
Nice. Now,
I think it picked up a lot.
Now, your life hacks. I'm going to go first, right? So, one thing that I have in my room that has kind of made me a lot more punctual and a lot more kind of up and out of bed is putting my alarm clock on the far side of the room.
Oh, that's, it's kind of annoying.
It is really annoying. But if you have it plugged in on the far end of the room,
you're up.
You have to get out of the bed, and you need to be a seriously lazy fucker if you're getting back into the bed after going the whole way across.
I've seen you do it, you fucker.
Yeah, obviously I've done it. I'm not saying I'm Mr. Motivation every day, but yeah, you know, sure. 6 times out of 7, or what, I use those numbers, but anyway.
They're the stats, bro.
If a high portion of the time it gets me out of bed, then, you know, we're cracking. So, Bernie, life hack.
Back on the
crack. Put pancake mix in a ketchup bottle for a no-mess experience, so you can just squirt it onto the pan.
The old Cal.
It's pretty genius.
The old Google doing all your work for you.
Yeah, actually, I'm doing that.
Yeah, you never use that in your life, man.
Yeah, what's your luck?
Yeah, I will now.
Someone else might use it. Andy, life hack?
Definitely. You see, I don't have a fucking laptop. Alright, it is a life hack, okay. It's like takes a little more effort than getting a ketchup bottle and not a ketchup bottle and putting pancake mix in.
Okay, anyway, stop babbling his life hack and give me yours.
My fitness pal. Yeah, man, alright, I'm getting too. Alright, my fitness pal, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Learn how much food is, you know, like the amount of food your body needs.
Yeah.
And you can kind of just trickle along, you know, the baseline of the calorie and intake you need.
Fair.
Bit of an effort, but like it's actually a good little educational tool, and you can go your whole life kind of eyeballing food from there.
Okay, so I have two cards in my hand. They are both the same difficulty, you know, they're both fucking hard. Tom has the high score of 5, Kenny has the low score of 3, Fiacre's on 4, and Jenna's on 3.5.
If I beat Kenny, I'll be happy.
The big question is, where are you fuckers going to fit in? We're going to go straight in, and rock, paper, scissors. Winner goes second, or winner gets to choose.
Okay. Like, people can't see this, but Bernie's hand is so ridiculous. Bigger than mine.
But that doesn't make a difference.
It does rock, man. What if it's a rock? Like,
fuck off, William.
There you go.
Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors.
Right.
Choose.
Yeah, you want to go first or second?
Second, obviously.
Okay, Bernie, ready?
Yeah, bro.
In what sea are the Virgin Islands?
Yeah, I don't know that one, not gonna lie, so I'm gonna say Mediterranean.
The Caribbean.
Cool. Good start.
What historically was / is a Galway hooker?
Oh, it's a point.
It's a boat. It's a boat.
No, there's a drink called Galway Hooker as well.
Which is obviously named after.
Yeah, there's a also a prostitute. But like,
what fish was on the Irish pre-Euro coins?
Oh my god! What are you
showing?
I don't care if you know these or not. It's his
fish.
Yeah.
Salmon.
Yeah.
You get the fucking
banging cheese. That's nice one. Right? 1 point. Okay, Bernie, what plant is the New Zealand national emblem?
Oh, fuck, I know this. Oh, no, I need to get this.
I think you should know this, to be honest. Don't you be giving hints.
Oh, man, I'm giving it a chance. You know what I like.
I definitely know it. Feather.
That's it.
Fern.
Fern, bro.
Oh, it's
fern.
Just black ferns. Yeah, give
black
me that,
ferns. Yeah. No, I'm not kidding.
You said better. Yeah,
okay.
But how many is that? Five? Four?
That's questions.
Yeah.
That was question four. Oh. So, question five. The name of the ring worn by the Pope.
Oh, honestly, fuck off.
Bro, that's ridiculous.
I'm it's not, like, it's a really famous ring.
Clatter?
What? No, it's the ring of the fisherman.
Famous.
Okay. One ring.
To who invented the modern day flushing toilet?
It's not actually something to do
with... Don't say it.
It's something to do with Crapper or some shit, isn't it?
Do you know it?
No.
Thomas Crapper.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Okay. The name of U2's debut album.
Beautiful Day. Yes.
Joshua Tree, isn't it?
Boy.
Oh, boy, fuck.
The first Aer Lingus flight was to where? Like, we're on a podcast. People need to, like, hear
yeah,
something.
I know.
You're just looking at me like that does nothing. Wait,
you're like, help me!
These are ridiculous. Like.
What do you mean? Like, they're obviously they're...
I don't know.
Is it Belfast?
London?
Bristol. Where did Daniel O'Connell die?
Well, I'm so shit at history. Like, I actually couldn't give a fuck.
Where
did he die? O'Connell Street? I don't know.
No. In Genoa.
How many questions left?
There's one more.
Fuck.
Okay, how many countries are there in Africa?
Ah, good luck.
That's a fucking hard man.
I'll make a deal with you because they are quite hard. If you get the Africa one within five, I'll give you a point.
Okay, 60.
54.
Oh, that's bullshit.
That's six. Okay, I'll give you that. Right, two
oh,
points.
Oh, wait, I'm not the bottom class.
Yeah, well, it's two's better than one.
Yeah,
man,
to be honest, I don't even know how many I'm going to get.
I should have went with the kids for trivia.
I told you, here, just for everyone listening, right, I said to Bernie, I was like, listen, if you want me to get the kids trivia, I will do it for
no,
you.
No, listen, these questions are ridiculous. Like,
they are
ridiculous. Ridiculous, yeah, they
are.
Okay.
Like, I would have got a lot more questions.
In the kids' one.
Obviously.
No, the other ones.
All right, go.
Okay, Andy, you ready? Excluding Russia, which European city has the most lakes?
I fucking know that.
you fucking don't, like.
Most lakes?
Mm.
European city?
Yeah. European country, sorry, not city.
Slovakia.
Finland.
I fucking was going to say that.
No, you fucking weren't.
Mm-hmm.
What is the only monarchy in the Pacific?
In the Pacific?
Mm.
Oh, Jesus. Monarchy in the Pacific. Mm. Pacific Ocean, that.
Mm.
I have no idea.
You're gonna hazard a guess anywhere in the Pacific, like you could be right, could be wrong. It's only a guess, like.
Japan.
Tonga.
Tonga.
Ooh.
What do you call the little dot above the letters I and J?
Do you know that?
No.
Did you know that before you put that too?
I actually answered this. I was on a quiz show before and this was one of the questions.
Oh, really?
So this is actually where I got it from.
I'm not here.
Wait. What's the beginning?
T. I've told you this before.
Yeah, you have.
I don't know.
No, I'm not gonna know.
I really don't know.
Tits.
Sorry, just I was trying to help Bernie there, but it's tittle.
Tittle? I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, what is the postcode for Ars Anutheron? D what?
Oh, you should get that.
Surely,
like.
D7.
D8.
D8?
Oh, bullshit.
How is that D8?
It's obviously on the other side of Liffey, like.
No, it's not.
don't know, like it obviously is.
That's neutral. That's complete north side, but fuck it.
I don't know, well, like.
Probably wanted an even number.
I don't know, like, we'll have to look back and we'll check it, but the internet said D8. So
my boy Thomas lives right next to it, he's D7.
You look up what that is in while I'm doing him. Okay, Andy, in snooker, how many points is the blue ball worth?
Oh, here? No idea.
Five! Boom! He got one, lovely! Yeah. A zucchini is another name for what vegetable?
What the fuck is this shit? Like?
You know the name of it, like. I've seen you eat this. Like, it's green.
There's no. I didn't get any hints.
It's green. Cucumber.
No, courgette.
That's not green.
Same family.
It?
The courgette is green.
It's kind of purple, huh?
That's an eggplant.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Or an aubergine.
Yeah,
it is D8.
Why?
Yeah, it's obviously on the other side of the
district. Like,
no, but it isn't on the other side of the Liffey. That's what I'm saying.
Alright, well.
It's just confusing.
Take it up with Mr. Google. Like.
Yeah, little faggot.
Okay. In golf, what is it called when you score 3 under par?
An eagle.
Albatross.
I'm doing even worse than fucking.
What year was Back to the Future released?
1974.
1985.
Fuck's sake.
Did I get two of it?
Yeah. The capital of Romania?
Bucharest.
Yeah.
Oh, dark. Shout out to Vasi Cefac.
What is the name that's given to the groove between your upper lip and nose? You see that groove there? I know we can't see it because we all have mustaches now, but see, you know that thing?
Mm-hmm.
What's that called?
Do you know?
No.
Man. I thought I'd be good at this.
Yeah. Everyone does, and then I just fuck them with questions. Everyone's like, oh, well, come on, do really, really well.
Thank fuck I didn't say that, I'd be mortified. A groove. No, not yet.
No, it's called a filtrum.
These are so ridiculous.
Look, right.
I want feedback from the listeners.
Is that it?
What?
Is that it?
They're the question. So
is that it? Has he finished?
I got two each.
So the old joint bottom. Joint bottom.
So don't listen to anything we said in that podcast because we're stupid.
That's not fair. Please play this my podcast.
I'm joking.
Stop on Jake.
Jesus. No, but like, okay, there's 20 questions there, right? If you didn't know them and you're listening, you might pick up and be like, oh shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good for the
I guarantee I won't even remember that tomorrow.
It's good for listening.
I'm going to text you in the morning saying filter, and I'm going to text you every 45
minutes. No, now I remember. We've said it three times now.
Filter.
Yeah, probably won't use it again.
I'll probably forget, to be honest.
Yeah, so that's our trivia wrapped up. I just wanted to say a big thank you to you for coming on this evening. I enjoyed having a spew with you. Have we anything else we want to throw out on the table?
Yeah, so he did greet with... Dan greeted us earlier on with stories. I'd want to tell one of that.
Oh, dark.
All right, so we are having a little stony after chat one night
in Vancouver.
Okay?
Don't do drugs, kids.
We were going around, we were talking about genetics, okay? So like who was genetically gifted in what area? And it got around to Dan.
We were trying to build the ultimate
ultimate baby using like genetically gifted traits from each person, okay? So we got around. So Bernie was his... I think it was
like his nose.
Yuck.
It was the, maybe his hands or some shit he'd make for fucking good lumberjack material or some shit.
My nose would not be out of tune.
No, no, like, man. Absolutely
you can
not.
Smell, like, really good.
Yeah, you can't smell at all.
I have no sense of smell.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, and we got around to Dan and I was like, okay, yeah, Dan. Dan's
resilience.
Resilience. You just can't die. And he goes, I will never die, right? The chap beelines for the fucking balcony and just jumps off it.
God,
right, this is a fucking
don't try
first that, floor balcony. He jumps off it. And no, funny enough, he didn't die.
Now let me just put this into perspective. I did a little body weight triangle, like let's call it spade a spade. I completely ballparked it, and I was very lucky I caught myself.
I was the only one who actually had the angle on seeing it, and it was impressive. It was like something you see out of those parkour things on YouTube.
That's Dan.
So Dan basically makes some fucking life-threatening decisions.
No, I don't. I'm a nice guy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
But yeah, I am, you know, we kind of have to end the episode now because Andy has just decimated my character. But no,
that
missing.
Is the end of the podcast forever.
No, I hope not.
I'm joking.
Nah, buzzing, bro. Come on, you want to come back on again, don't you? You're like a spew. A huge thank you to anyone who is still listening. you know, it's good to kind of just get talking with your bros and, you know, anything that comes to light, we can kind of hash out.
Hash.
Ah, Derek.
Derek.
Deez.
Let's try to finish this on a
good anyway, day. Okay, so, yeah, thanks mainly for listening, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.